Kia ora and welcome to DWC's Forever a Coaster business interview series. I'll be chatting to successful business people who may no longer be living on the coast, but are forever connected and therefore forever a coaster. Tēnā koe, Hayley, nā mai, haere mai. For Development West Coast Forever a Coaster series, I'd like to welcome Hayley Horan, or Hayley Jones, for those who knew her when she was growing up in South Westland. Hayley is the agritech tech sector lead at New Zealand Trading Enterprise, which is our government economic development agency. She's also worked in Dubai supporting food and beverage exporters and was until recently New Zealand Trade Commissioner in Singapore. You made it back before lockdown.
Just 48 hours prior.
Did you? Very good. I bet you're pleased to be here now.
Oh, yes. Very, very happy to be home.
So from Ross to Dubai, to Singapore, now back to New Zealand. Tell us a little bit about your journey from those days on the West Coast.
Yeah, actually, firstly, thank you so much for having me here. The fact that I get to talk about the West Coast is super duper exciting. Look, I think the journey is not one that goes like that. It's more of a sort of a spaghetti journey. But I went from the West Coast to Wellington, and I guess that's where I did the majority of my study. And the West Coast was always home for me, and yet you do need to get out into the big city and learn some stuff. I actually started my career in the good old car business. So I was a dealer principal for Toyota at quite a young age, and so I kind of learnt the Toyota way, and I think the West Coast upbringing and the Toyota way sort of set me on a fabulous journey. I moved to the UK for a little while. I actually spent some time in Dublin. And
you were born in the UK, weren't you?
I was born in Liverpool. So, you know, that itself is full of personality, as is the West Coast. And I worked for a startup. And my job was really the sales and marketing piece. And long story short, I came home. I fell in love with commercialization, you know, basically building products and how do you commercialize in international markets. And long story short, I ended up working in insurance. I worked at Z Energy. And then I found out about this amazing organization called NZTE that helped exporters grow. And it felt like it had everything in it that I love: international commercialization, and that was kind of my journey.
Oh, great! And so you actually born in Liverpool. You moved to Ross when you were two.
Yes.
So from
yes.
a huge English city to a tiny town of Ross. What impact, if anything, did growing up in the coast have on you? You know, your childhood years clearly were spent in Ross.
Yeah. Oh, look. What did it bring me? I think innovation and curiosity. So when I tell people the story that I was 8 years old on a horse with a machete in my backpack with my mate, Susie Breeze, I hope she's watching, and we would go cut tracks. You know, when you think about that in this day and age, who's eight on the back of a horse? And mum would call the farmer to make sure we could go out there, and then don't tell the farmers, but we would set off the possum tracks on that with that hand with bits of sticks because we thought that was mean, while cutting tracks over here. So I think it's, you know, when you think about getting up on a Saturday morning, you went out and you had an adventure, you know, because you didn't sit inside, you know, you just didn't sit inside. And of course you had rabbits and sheep and goats and whatever else. So I just think that the upbringing of the, you know, understanding fresh air and the land, and it's really hard to describe. I have a love for whole foods. You know, this will probably put it into perspective. And I remember saying to my mum, oh, you know, I love whole foods, you know, straight from the ground and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is when I was a bit older, and she goes, well, that's what you have when you're a kid. What are you going on about? Why do people write about whole foods? You know, you go outside, you pull out a carrot, pull out a spud, you probably got meat from locally and you eat it. What is this big thing with whole foods? And maybe we should, you know, start something called the West Coast Whole Food Diet. Yeah. But you know, like, I think it instilled in me that the love of produce. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but we were blessed with produce. Anybody on the West Coast, I mean, yourself, what do you remember? The taste, you know, silver beet, rhubarb, carrot, this is Hamilton's jam from next door, the Detlef's honey down the road. I mean, we were surrounded by what's trendy now in Auckland, you know, our own little marketplace. Yeah. Little Roth, population 300.
Rhubarb used to grow like weeds.
Oh, I know.
Every time I see it at the posh shop now, I go, that's rhubarb. do you look at any of your personal attributes and say that's so West Coast, the way I am now is so West Coast? Because there's a strength of character generally I find in West Coasters.
Yeah, look, I think pretty straight up. I think when you're on the West Coast, you're quite straight up. They're very resilient. I laugh about people complain about the rain. I mean, gosh, I think we've got 6 weeks a year of rain. So it's like, put on your gummies and get on with it. And I know that rain just doesn't impact me. And that's really strange. But that carries through, right? No matter what the weather is, you have animals. You have to walk to school. And, you know, you have to do stuff. And you do it in the rain. So, you know, when you translate that into life, you've got to get out there and do it in the rain. So, because conditions were never going to be good.
Amazing. We always walked to school in the rain. We just did. You never even bothered asking for a lift. You always walked to school. You did everything in the rain. Yeah.
So I think that straight up, no crap kind of approach with kindness. Yeah. You know, like you go to a West Coast pub and you'll turn around to a couple of people and you'll think they look a little bit grumpy. But the minute you speak to them, they'll be super kind. You know, they'll also tell you if you're sitting in their chair. But, you know, it's quite unique.
Almost 20% of the West Coast economy is based on food production, food manufacturing. What do you think are some exciting developments in agri-tech that could benefit West Coast businesses?
Anything with doing growing things in the rain? No, just kidding. But look, I don't know specifically about the West Coast, but what I would say is that the West Coast attitude, partnered with the deep science that is occurring, you know, the attitude plus the science is the opportunity. And actually, it's not so much what happens on the West Coast. It's when the West Coasters go out, there seems to be where the magic happens. So I think our farming systems and the stuff we take for granted, that's not a West Coast only thing. We do some really neat things with our produce and we forget to tell people about it. You know, the way we create food, our food technology, we just talk about produce, but how things are produced, there's some real wizardry in there. Our farmers are just, you know, they are scientists and they are specialists. And I think there's a bunch of opportunity in storytelling. It's beyond the technology. It's the stories of our farmers. I mean, geez, I grew up lucky enough to go to the Ferguson's bush nearly every second weekend. I was lucky to be friends with Ferguson's and, you know, they were amazing farmers. You know, our farmers are, I don't know, they're underrepresented in storytelling. And I just think that our West Coast farmers are pretty special.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned storytelling. These days, people talk a lot about that in business as a product or a business having a story. Why do you really think it matters? How does a West Coast business use their story for their benefit?
I think, you know, you've got to remember when you go down the South Island, the whole thing's beautiful. The North Island's beautiful. And a lot of people, when they come, I mean, even domestic tourists speaking in the current climate, you know, what don't people know that we take for granted? You know, the story is, imagine that, you know, what you know unconsciously to be special, no one knows. You've got to tell them, you know, you really got to, and it's not the West Coast way. But you've got to put your hand up and go, hey, we're doing some really cool stuff over here. You should come and have a look. And I also think you're spoilt rotten on the West Coast. You really are. You have so much beauty. You have natural bush. You have incredible produce. And we forget that it's amazing. Yeah. You know, and then we all go overseas and then we go, oh, my goodness. You know, our produce is incredible. And we go back. And especially on the West Coast, I think, you know, I think about Ross, you know, we were 1 kilometre from the sea, the rough black sand sea, you know, everything seemed to smell amazing and the water's amazing. And, you know, like we've got to tell from the soil up stories. I really think it's a missed opportunity.
There's an authenticity about the West Coast, isn't there? That's now, you know, sought after in food and beverage.
Oh, look, absolutely. And I think, you know, I joke about the climate, but the climate creates opportunities. You know, the honey down there tastes different, the meat down there tastes different. I think South Island lamb tastes different. You know, but we need to explain it. You know, do you know what I mean? And the beautiful, you know, our forests, our trees, you know, I mean, I'm not talking so much about food and beverage, but that environment to which we get to live or did get to live is really special. And what grows from that fertile soil is, you know, I don't undersell it. And look, I think there's the New Zealand story, but every region has got its own story. What's our story? You know, what makes us special? And what do people say when they leave the West Coast? I think if we could capture that in a different kind of way and kind of stamp that on pretty much anything that pumps out of there, I think it's a winner.
I guess, since, you know, they've used the tourism brand, Untamed Natural Wilderness. Do you think there's opportunities there in food and beverage to use that brand as well?
Oh, look, absolutely. I think, so the thing that springs to mind for me, and this is a very small example, but and I shouldn't pull out a product, but there is a fabulous gin. I love gin. But there's a fabulous gin. I think it's from Reefton.
Distillery, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, there's just something to take that wider brand story and think about that beautiful. It's the water, it's the botanicals, you know, mostly our native botanicals, and it's from the West Coast. So, you know what I mean? Like the nutrients.
Good.
It's just, there's just something to wrap around that. That's kind of the umbrella brand, and Untamed, I mean, the West Coast is, it's the rawness that makes it incredible, not the, you know, no one's made it too pretty yet, if that makes sense. And I don't mean that as that it's unattractive. I mean that as what you see is what it's been for a long, long time. And there's just something beautiful about that.
So I guess what you're saying is, you know, New Zealand obviously has its fern mark and the West Coast could have its own mark.
Absolutely.
In your previous role, you were New Zealand Trade Commissioner. What advice would you give West Coast businesses looking to start exporting?
I think be really clear on the problem you're solving, and also who else is solving that problem, and how do you benchmark yourself. I think, you know, the other three key things. The other thing is, don't be afraid to collaborate. I think, you know, collaboration is the new way of trading. No one has the entire solution. We all have little pockets. And together we're actually stronger internationally. We really are. And I think that's not just the West Coast message, but it is definitely look for others that you can partner with, but be really clear on the problem that you're looking to solve.
So market validation, I guess, really. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Absolutely. And even, you know, sort of product, you know, before you build it, who's going to buy it versus build it and they will come, you know? It's, you know, I truly believe commercials first. No matter how much you're in love with the idea, check the commercials first.
Yeah. There is a market for it, yeah. Not just what your mate said down the pub on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. Mary said it was great.
Yeah. You need a lot of Marys. But, there are a lot of small business on the West Coast, and you did mention collaboration, but can a business be too small or too young to export, do you think?
I guess it depends how you define small. You know, it is about capital. It's expensive to export. If you have a solution that is solving a wider problem, and I come back to collaboration, you can find company, a partnership where you add in what you've got to make something bigger and better, then no, it doesn't matter about the size. But absolutely, look, you need to have some money. Let's not you know, let's not sort of sugarcoat that. It's hard and it's expensive, and as much as we hear overnight success stories, when you dig underneath, Roger will be the first to tell you they're normally 10-year overnight success stories. So look, it's not too small if you're solving a big problem and you collaborate, and it's all about the commercials.
Has e-commerce made it easier though?
Yeah, I think e-commerce, we should have been on that bandwagon a long time ago. I think e-commerce in itself is, whether you decide it's a platform, I would sort of translate that as, do you have any form of digital presence? And do you understand simple things like search optimization? Do you know how to be found? Because it's about that. This is a beautiful world now. In a way, it's horrible because of what's going on, but it's a level playing field. Everyone's sitting at home having a look. How will you be found, and what will your message convey that will have someone want to do something else? And that's definitely from a West Coast perspective. You know, let's get some pictures up. Have we Googled ourselves lately? We Google West Coast. What comes up? You know, South Island honey. What comes up? South Island wine. I mean, what are we doing to represent our country? Let's tell some stories.
It's good. Could you just round that up a little bit for me? Is there anything you believe the West Coast can be world famous for, uniquely famous for?
Yes, I think. Let's take an example. Put it down to something people. Wild Food Festival. You think about when the Wild Food Festival first got together. I mean, there's a concept there that is, it's a party, right? It's a party now. I get that. But when you think about what we're actually doing, we had alternate protein sources, looking at different foods. I think there's some ingenuity that we can play on with the West Coast, with the authenticity. That was a very small example, but imagine if that took a different route and that had some form of the fun with some science to it. You know, like what could come as a consequence of throwing that around a little bit? It's just a very small, potentially not relevant example, but I think we could be famous for our absolute natural, beauty, but it's not, you know, the untamed sort of wilderness. The conditions create amazing things. What are they?
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Actually, the conditions do create amazing things and amazing people, as it turns out.
That's right.
I heard you say that, talk about the importance of authenticity, that what's on the packet is in the packet. Can you explain a little bit what you meant by that when it comes to food production?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we are trusted, I think, as a brand in our food and beverage, international marketplace. And people do believe us when we say that, you know, New Zealand is good. And well, what's happened recently, I think people are going to want to know more. I think we've got an opportunity to embrace more technology, especially on the West Coast. There's the coolest stories around traceability and, you know, really being able to tell the story about the food. We're using technology and pointing to the West Coast story and the West Coast difference. I think we've got something in that. There's something pure about West Coast food.
The water tastes great.
Yeah, it is. It's the water. You're right. Anything with that's got water. I mean, we need more reason to look after our waterways. That's what I'd say about that. I think that's a New Zealand thing, and I don't think we should take for granted the trust either, because it wouldn't take much to lose it in our reputation and, you know, our West Coast waterways and all those amazing natural resources. We have to hold them after our future generations.
That's right. Like a lot of, I guess, smaller regions, the West Coast has an emerging tech sector, but they are working in an isolated region. Any tips on overcoming that?
I talk about collaboration before, and I really mean that. So if you were to think about the West Coast and your Christchurch has got a booming tech scene, for example, in Auckland, how do you take the West Coast and connect it in with the other hubs around New Zealand and have it be sort of like a hub spot? So when all those cool people that are in all the other like tech ecosystems, they know that West Coast has X, Y, and Z stop-offs, and they start to come through on their holiday with the kids and call in and check out, you know, Mary who's doing whatever. You know, I think there's a, let's have a conversation where we connect into other pockets around New Zealand to start and then wider to the world, because it's tech, right? I mean, we don't have to be in a room and we all like a glass of wine and a piece of cheese, but at the end of the day, there's ways in which we can do this. So I think that connecting in across our country's hubs, tech hubs, would be really neat to see more of that.
And maybe COVID times have kind of taught us even more about the importance of connectivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I think we should push more to not go back to having to be in rooms to network, to not go back to rooms for conferences. I personally think we should force ourselves to keep a hybrid model going, because, you know, the West Coast and other little pockets around New Zealand, Man, they got some amazing innovation that we're going to shut out if you have to drive 8 hours or 4 hours just to turn up and have your glass of Pinot Gris, your piece of cheese. You know, we need to keep the conversations going in a virtual way. And the
Zoom drinks on Friday nights.
Yeah, or GMT, West Coast GMT nights.
COVID, of course, has had a major impact on the West Coast because, of the tourism industry. Can you see, any opportunities for recovery through the food sector or even through the tourism sector? Opportunities that, you've seen and thought, there's a real chance to change the way we do business?
I'm not going to say that I've researched this, but I will say that there is some transference with our AR, VR, how can people experience without experiencing, there is the whole domestic tourist piece. I know you're in Auckland now, Julie, but there's some Aucklanders that need to get down to the West Coast and chuck on their gummies, gumboot holidays. It could be a whole rage. I think there is tech to showcase without being there. There's experiential. Look, there's just having a really good website and some ways to buy your product. I know that sounds really simple, but I absolutely challenge West Coasters to, even if you are a small entrepreneur selling whatever widgets you might be, how do I find you? I think the opportunity is in the digital market space, virtual type, experiences. And the other part I would say, and I keep going back to storytelling, but, do people know what they can do on the West Coast?
Yeah.
I'm not going to, say pub crawl because it sounds like everyone on the West Coast drinks too much. There's some really cool little pubs. Go and have a weekender, go and have a weekender somewhere. The West Coast is great for some, sitting around the fireplace, having a couple of beers and talk to the locals and have a possum pie. I've never had a possum pie, by the way, but I know they exist. there's just unique small experiences to be had that will touch your heart, and you won't forget you've been on the West Coast.
Can you just tell us just a little bit about your career? What does a trade commissioner actually do?
Great question. So we're NZT is an international growth agency, so export growth agency. So we have offices all around the world, and in each office we have a trade commissioner and local BDM, so business development managers across food, tech, and specialised manufacturing. And what I would do as a trade commissioner, and what we do as trade commissioners, is we have a portfolio of customers that we know what they want to get after in the market, and we ensure we have the right networks to give them the knowledge they need, and we have the right capability in our BDMs to be able to help them accelerate their export journey in market. So we help with market validation, so entry to market, we help you plan your market strategy while you're there, and we help you accelerate while you're there through our networks and our knowledge. So it sounds really simple, but
and your new role, which is the agri-tech tech sector lead at NZT, how's that different from your trade commissioner role?
I think it's completely different in the sense that my role now sits in the middle of, here's the private sector and everything that they're doing, and here you have New Zealand Inc. And it's about doing your best to be connected across that industry and bring it back into NZT to say, look, this is what I'm hearing. And we also have like our working groups that are alongside me that are across our organisation. And we feed that back when we're asked. So, are we doing the right things by our exporters in the early stage? Where do you think we need to change our ways in terms of really being able to help scale? So going in and asking the questions to get the sentiment. So now I'm sort of like, the middle person rather than the person out the front of the room that you are when you're the trade commissioner, you're representing. Yeah. So now I'm sort of that person in the middle that's the connector. Yeah.
So is it a permanent move back to New Zealand, or will you be going off and doing somewhere else?
I don't know. My husband says I'm sort of 2 years at a go and then I get bored. So we'll have to say. At the moment, I'm living the dream back home. Everything's amazing, and I'm very, very grateful to be here. But, it's all of us. Who knows?
And when will we see you on the West Coast again?
We were just talking about that on the weekend, actually, whether we should do this camper van thing. And I'm sorry, I don't want to park up and sleep by the lake, but I do want to drive past it. So we're planning on driving from Picton right down. I haven't been to Bluff.
Yeah.
I know, right?
So, oh, you haven't been down through the Haast Pass. You haven't been.
I want to go right down. So we're going to do that. Probably won't be till February next year.
Yeah. So you want to drive along the camper van. You don't particularly want to stay in it, did you say?
I don't think I'm going to do the camper van. No, I don't want to do the camper van. No, I can't call anyone for my breakfast.
Do you still have family on the coast?
My kids have loads of family down there. We no longer are there, really. But, my kids have a very big reach. I won't not say their surname, but there's a lot of them.
That's great. Oh, it's been great to talk to you, Hayley Horan. Oh,
thank you.
Forever a West Coaster. Thanks very much for your wise words.
Oh, and thank you for committing back to the West Coast. It's awesome. Take care.
Great. Thanks, Hayley.